Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back to Bombing with Eric Andre, the podcast where I talk with comedians, musicians, friends, chefs, and known murderers, convicted murderers. Actually, we have a lot of them on the show. This episode, we feature three of my best drinking buddies, Nick Rutherford, Carl Hess, and Cornell Reed, some of my favorite stand-up comics. They're my vacation and adventure buddies. We've all gone to the worst open mics in the world together for the past 20 years, and collectively, we've had the most absurd, raunchiest nights. As always, follow the podcast for new episodes every week. Rate us 5 stars and check out Big Money Players Diamond on Apple Podcasts to get exclusive weekly bonus content plus ad-free episodes. Let's get into it.
Bombing with Eric Andre.
We'll start with our worst bombing stories, and then we'll
take turns saying the N-word.
That's funny. Okay. I heard you had a fucking. Do you want to kick it off, or you want to? Or Nick?
Sure, I can start off with my story.
I heard you had like a kaboom.
Yeah.
Bomb of the century story.
Yeah. Should I start now?
Are we recording?
We've been recording.
All right. So this was right when I started doing stand-up comedy. I was still in college, and my RA, who was I was kindly friendly with, she comes up. She's like, "Hey," knocks on my dorm room. I open the door. She goes, "Hey, I got you a set. It's in 15 minutes. Come follow me." And I was like, "Well, okay." So I walk with her. I follow her. We go to like the hall.
This is how people get booked for comedy shows all the time.
This is how most people start doing comedy.
Industry outsiders.
I know. It's just like, wow, I'm a new comic. This sounds like an opportunity to shine, you know? And I start walking to the little like center they have. And as we start walking to this little event center, I see signs all over for Soul Night. I'm like, surely this can't be tonight.
Like a neo soul, like a Erykah Badu kind of vibe, or what?
No, it was just black in general. It wasn't a
That's what soul means in Northridge.
Yes. Soul Night. I walk inside following my RA, who wasn't black either. I don't know how she got this booking on this.
She's like, "I got a guy."
I got the perfect guy for you, my brother.
Well, my name's Cornell, too, so they probably didn't even bat an eye. They're like, "Yep, one more. Sounds great." I walk in, and it's full. It's packed. There's like 300 people there in the seats. And on stage is spoken word poetry going on.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Eureka Poetry Slam was full swing.
CSU Northridge Poetry Slam going down hard. And they are loving it. After that, gospel choir comes on.
And you were like, perfect. Three or four songs.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's so naive back then. I was just like, well, I'm going to get up there and kill him. This is going to be great. Comedy fits in line with this programming. So, gospel choir finishes. And then the woman walks on stage like, up next for some comedy, here's Cornell Reed.
Wow.
And I walk on stage. Immediately silent.
Record skip.
Yes, absolutely. I start telling my first joke. Nothing. Absolute nothing.
Do you remember the joke?
I don't remember the joke, but I do remember...
It was what's the deal with black people?
What a
lot of
want?
Blacks here tonight. Bit too many blacks here tonight.
Anyway, I'm Cornell Reed.
Anyway, I'm Cornell.
Hey, I'm glad you guys are here, because no one's out robbing my car right now.
You should just start doing Bernie Mac set from Def Comedy Jam.
Yeah, but I was very scared.
I am scared of you, motherfuckers. Very scared.
So I start doing jokes, and then they just start, they're talking. They're not paying attention. They start heckling me. Like, before I would start setting up a joke, they would go like, ha, 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 before I even got to the punchline. And they're heckling me like that. I was, you know, and I was like 2 years into it.
That doesn't sound like a heckle. That sounds like they were having fun.
What's your problem with black people?
You talk to an audience member, he's like, oh, that guy killed. No, he was doing really well.
My favorite comedian.
He's really mad at us for some reason, though.
They're like trying to shut me up. Like,
they were mocking
throw
you.
Me off
they were
and
mocking
me.
Yeah.
And, I'm so early on into comedy, I'm doing like, what's the deal with Transformers? I mean, but that one robot transforms into a tape player. What? Tape player in the future? At least be a CD player. You know?
That's not bad. That's not bad. That's pretty strong.
That was for sure my A material for
I mean, that's your
over
closer
a decade.
Now.
Yeah.
Right. He's updated it a little bit.
So I'm doing these jokes, and I'm still going, even though no one's giving me anything. I'm powering through. These people are legitimately trying to interfere with my set. And I bring up one joke, and this guy goes like, ha, 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 before I get anywhere. And I look at him, and he had one sleeve rolled up on his T-shirt. And for some reason, it sparked a memory in me, because I got the feeling to riff, to finally win this audience on my side,
like,
right?
Kind of jumping to some crowd work, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, and he had one sleeve rolled up, and it reminded me of the movie Sunset Park. I don't know if you've never heard of that movie, but it's like Ray Perlman coaches an inner city basketball team type movie.
I have not seen this film.
It was not a hit, but it was in the late 90s that movie was around. And one of the guys on the basketball team had one of his sleeves cut off of his shirt underneath his jersey. I remember that because I thought it looked cool, and I did it when I played basketball in seventh grade for a little while.
That's kind of early days of like the Kobe sleeve, you know?
Right. Well, people were doing like sleeveless shirts. This is the first guy I saw doing one sleeve.
Yeah, okay.
Like,
I don't think I've ever seen that. It's kind of cool.
Nobody has. Nobody has. So that guy heckles me. He has one shirt sleeve rolled up. So I pointed at him and go, oh, Sunset Park over there likes that joke. And it didn't. No one made the connection that one kid in Sunset Park had his sleeve cut off.
He just said inner city kid. Yeah.
That black guy
black
looks
guys?
Like an inner city basketball player. That's what it came off as. That was finally the whole crowd just goes, ooh.
Because now they had something to sink their teeth into.
Right. And I distinctly remember hearing a woman in the front row say verbatim, that white motherfucker's gonna get his ass beat.
Oh, my
and
God.
The lady comes up, literally takes the microphone out of my hands, and I walk off stage and just went straight back to my dorm room and just like hid in my bed for like the next 3 days.
And that RA is still your manager, right?
Right, right. She's gotten him some really good gigs, though, like, to be fair.
She's gotten better. Cornell's gotten better. They're growing.
He did tour later with that gospel band that, you know, they mended the fences.
I I have a similar, like, they just stopped me from doing comedy.
Yeah, that's the worst when they stop
when they're like, enough is enough.
That's amazing.
You don't even finish your time.
What happened?
I was in, I went up to Alaska with Brooks for Brooks Whelan's, like, 30th birthday. We camped to, like, Denali. And our way back down to the airport, we stayed one night in this little town called Talkeetna, which is, like, this little mountain town. It's really cute. It's, like, a real quirky little mountain town. Like, there's a bar that, like, the manager is a cat. You know, it's like one of these places.
Sounds very cool.
Yeah, like, that, it's
got
like,
a sunglasses on and a beret.
And that bar, I guess the cat doesn't like cursing or something.
What?
So that when we went to that bar, they were like, you know, if you curse at all, you're kicked out immediately. And we were like, are you fucking serious? And then they kicked us out, like, immediately. So it was a really quirky little town. And we go to this one bar, and they had an open mic. And it was just, you know, like poetry, like singer-songwriters. It's just a super little local open mic. And Brooks
always
and I...
Always conducive to stand-up comedy.
Yeah. We're like, we're from L.A. Yeah. Let's shake this town
People
up.
People deserve to hear our observations.
Yeah.
Nothing
so,
like a small-town Alaskan town loves more than a big Hollywood...
People who work between
slam poetry and a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, the cat came up and did a trick. And these, like, hard-working, like, blue-collar, like, lumberjacks are like, what's this guy think about airlines?
Right.
So we signed up for the open mic, and it was a pretty rowdy crowd. And I go up, and I was doing this bit at the time that was about ants eating my, like, jizz.
You're still doing
rags.
This bit. Let's
I haven't done it. I was doing it for a while.
Put him on blast, Carl.
It's a good bit.
It is pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's about ants eating your jizz?
Yeah, it was like back when I lived with like three guys. Like, I, like, you know. You,
wait, whoa.
That's not important. But, like,
different
when you're,
time in my life, a simpler time, really, in a lot of ways.
Drinking a lot of pineapple juice.
I was a lot happier then.
Yeah, you're trying to keep your roommates happy. And I just remember.
Your roommates are ants?
Yeah, well, apparently. But I just remember, like just ants going after my little, like, jerk off towels, like, in the trash. Yeah, I know, it's gross. It's a gross bit, but it's about these ants, like, me meeting, like, a Nick ant hybrid. Doesn't matter. It's a gross bit.
Oh, like the ants eat your cum and then they have a little baby.
Yeah. Like, there's like a crony bird
would crash out of the wall
and, like, call me his father.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah, it's fun. It's got this great act out.
Okay.
And so I jump into my ant seat in my cum stuff, and the crowd just turns. Just like people like go like, oh, what the hell? Like,
audible
it was,
disgust.
Yeah, it was people were disgusted.
And
by
this
it.
Is in the no cursing bar.
This one I thought had no rules, but they had one rule. And I took the bartender, like, screams out, like, you're done! And then cuts the power to the microphone.
Oh, wow. From behind the bar.
Yeah, from behind the bar.
Oh, my God.
And then the host came up and grabbed them. And I was like, okay, cool. And then Brooks went up and crushed.
Really?
No, I don't remember what he did. But we hung out at the bar for, like, the rest of the night.
That's brave.
Yeah.
You just dragged through it.
Yeah, why did you hang out there?
It was a fun bar. They had this bell.
Like, we couldn't go back to the cat bar. There was only two bars in town.
I wanted to learn my lesson.
And it ended.
We stayed there.
Because they had a bell?
They had a bell, and if you rang the bell, if somebody rang the bell, that person had to buy everybody in the bar a drink. So, like, there'd be, like, Brooks and I felt like we were, like, locals at this point. So, like, there'd be, like, you know,
you've
some...
alienated the entire town.
Everyone hates you.
I'm basically a local. Everyone's disgusted by
ring,
me.
Ring,
not everyone.
Local Nick.
Hey, I'm Talkeetna Nick. Not everyone, because the night ended up with, like, Brooks and I sitting at the bar, and this kind of buxom, like mountain woman, like a much older mountain woman had really taken a shining to me. She really liked me.
She's like, I like that cum talk. I don't care what anybody says.
She's like, I want to be one of those ants.
You got me right
tonight, baby.
Ring my bell, baby.
And so she was very aggressive, and we were, like, sitting at the bar, and she was on the other side of Brooks, and we were like, he was, like, holding my hand behind Brooks. And
then adorable.
I was just trying to, like, kind of be nice and, like, you know, be like, I'm not really interested. I'm good. And somebody,
you're sitting in a seat. Then you're Brooks, and
Brooks.
Then the woman, and you guys are holding
hands. He's a chaperone
around.
On your date.
Yeah, exactly. I was trying to be away from her, but she would like sneak her.
It takes two to hold hands.
Yeah,
she would. She has a big, strong lumberjane hand. She's got this calloused lumberjane hand. So she does what she wants, and you let it happen.
That's her town.
And so I think she went to the bathroom, and I was like talking to somebody else, and I was like, I don't know what to do about this. And the guy was like, seems like Dave's wife really likes you.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah, Dave's wife. I never got her name. Her name is Dave's wife. And she kept saying, I just really wish you would walk me home. Like, I'm only 5 minutes away. If you walk me home, I'd really make it worth your while.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I don't want to meet
Dave.
Where was Dave? I don't know.
Did he ever catch you?
No, nothing happened. We just, like, you know, I went home. We fucked for days. No, nothing happened. We went to our Airbnb.
Dave comes out at the end of the story.
God,
like,
no, never
you
saw
you.
Jerk it off,
no.
Man.
Come eating, son of a bitch.
You got my wife.
Dave's listening to this podcast right now, jumping up and down on his cowboy hat.
She did. Man, she Dave, said, what?
Hey, Dave's wife, get in here.
He called her that, too?
Nope. It felt like that's just kind of a thing she does. She seduces all the L.A. comedians that come through to tell Keith this thing. Nobody was like, beware, that's Dave's wife. They're like, oh yeah, Dave's wife likes you. She lives right down the road. Walk her home. It felt like that was just how it works.
They wanted to have you killed because of the ant cum stuff.
Because of the cum stuff.
Wait, I love that you told the ant cum story and then they were like, fuck you, get out of here. And then you're like,
I will stay for four more hours. Yeah. You will just walk
not
only will I not
five
leave.
Feet to the bar, and you were like, who's ring, 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 ring.
Who's married here?
Do you know if she saw the story?
My friend Brooke. Brooke, stand right here, brother.
Did she see your set? Do you know if Dave's wife was there for that?
I imagine she was. Okay. There wasn't a lot to
She's
do.
She's like, I like this guy's style.
Yeah, I think she liked the gall, you know?
Yeah. I feel like my story is nowhere near as bad as these two. But,
okay, here we go.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've never bombed.
I don't know why I'm here. I've never done that.
Never bombed. Every set crushed.
It was early on. I probably knew in comedy like 2 years, and I somehow got a gig. I forget the town name. I really tried to look it up on Google Maps, but I couldn't find it. It's somewhere in Central California, just like a tiny town. And they were like, you can do 45 minutes, right? And I was like, you're goddamn right, I can. Yeah. It's going to be good as hell.
I've been doing stand-up for 3 weeks.
I like probably had like 15 minutes, maybe.
Yeah.
And it was like, one local comic and then like just me. And it was like, there wasn't even like a host. Uh-huh. And the place is like packed because it's one of those small towns where there's like not a lot going on. Uh-huh. It wasn't as charming as Talkeena. It was just like pretty bleak. And like, it was like a place where like you would see like a guy. It was like a place where there'd be like a fight at the pool table, and you would see a guy like break a pool cue.
Oh, yeah,
this was
shit.
Not
was
like a
roadhouse.
Venue. It was like a roadhouse. It was like a rough bar.
Just like a bunch of Punisher logo tees in the ground.
I mean, there was definitely like biker dudes, and it was like a very meth vibe, and it was just like,
what were you doing there?
I drove up specifically for this show. I booked it through like another comic. They're like, oh yeah, there's like this show you can do a long set. And I was just like, I wanted to do a long
set.
Was it
Bakersfield? Yeah. It wasn't Bakersfield.
No, it was like further north. It might have been Tulare. It was
Stockton,
in that area.
Stockton?
It wasn't even that big. It was tiny. It might have been Tulare. And I just, right off the bat, I'm just like eating shit. It's like, it's like nothing's working.
Yeah,
and like the guy before me, who I think was a local comic, like ate it so bad that I was like terrified.
No.
I was like, why are these people even here? Like, do you want to be here? Like the entire town seemed like it was there. And like one of my early bits was like a 5-minute chunk about Hitler. And like,
and all of his great qualities.
I'm just like, this is a good bit. Like, I just go into it and it is just like not doing well.
Yeah.
It was like one of the, there's multiple parts, but one part is about the Hitler family name was originally Schicklgruber and Hitler changed it. It might have actually been his dad who changed it. And I was like, the joke had something to do with how, like, it would have been way funnier if, like, he didn't change it, because, like, Schicklgruber is such a fun name.
Schicklgruber was his original name. Yes. So Hitler's, like, his stage name?
Well, it was, like, Schicklgruber was, like, a family name that they then changed to Hitler. But it was, like, it would have been, he would have been more deadly because no one would have taken him seriously. You know, you hear, like, oh, Hitler's invaded Poland. You're like, oh, my God, we got to do something. You hear, like, Schicklgruber has just invaded Poland. You're like, that fucking sounds hilarious.
Yeah.
He's up to his old tricks
he's
again.
He's like a Swedish chef from
like
the Muppet Show.
He's bringing pretzels?
As you can see, very solid joke. Yeah, and then I had like a bunch more shots. I don't even remember, but it was like a huge chunk. And it was just not doing
well. Were you getting booed at one point? Or
no, this is the only time someone's actually done this. Because I feel like this only happens in movies when someone's getting heckled. But like someone was literally like, you suck. Like, that never happens in real life. Usually hecklers are, like, too drunk and they're just talking loud. But, like, I got, like, a full-on
like,
you suck.
Like a perfectly timed
like,
you suck.
Like, from the back. Yeah. And it was just, like, a dagger to the heart.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, I'm floundering. I'm like, I'm just going to go into crowd work. So I start talking to these guys. And like somehow we started talking about meth because I think there was like it was like a meth type of vibe.
Yeah.
And I like kind of got a few laughs like making fun of the town down the road. I was like, what are you doing in a small town? You shit on the next town.
Yeah.
So I was like, classic. I bet that town fucking smokes way more meth, you know? And then someone was like, we actually smoke more meth. I was like, shit.
And we support that town's choices.
They were like proud of it. I was like, oh, I mean, you guys are, this is the meth town. Fuck. Springfield. I was
that
like,
that town's trying their hardest.
Oh my God.
They don't deserve this coming from you, Schickelberger.
I was fucking sweating. I remember at one point there was like a stuffed bear. And I like went into a riff about how like the bear was the mayor of the town, and like they did not love that. and then I think I just started getting more drunk on stage, and I just like did crowd work for the rest of the time. But like it was bad. There was definitely like biker dudes. I was like, these guys are gonna like beat the shit out of me. I'm like making fun of their town. But you know, they all kind of came together over the meth stuff. So you know, at least I had that.
Yeah.
Silver lining.
You got him.
With Eric Andre.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Bobby,
with Eric Andre.
Okay, so we got our bombing stories. What were the other two parts of my podcast?
Go to the outline. Pivot to the outline, quick.
Oh, the worst bomb you've ever witnessed in public. Like people getting bottles thrown at them on stage or meltdowns maybe, on stage.
I think
or,
this could segue into Nick's other story.
Which one?
Humble.
Oh, yeah. I don't. Well, let's transition into that later.
Okay.
But like, I do have a...
What do you mean later? Is that... It's a quick podcast. Like tomorrow. I'm trying to get out of here.
Tomorrow. Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, I have... Well,
God. What is this Humboldt story? It's, why won't you just tell it?
So Cornell runs a festival up in Humboldt at Savage Henry Comedy Club. It's great. It's every year. It's super fun, super chill. It was one of the first times I had gone up there, maybe the second time I'd gone up there for the festival, and it was the final show of the weekend. It was the big, like, headliner show.
Right.
This huge, beautiful venue. Beautiful, like, theater. And so they decided to, like, book, like, 30 comics on the show.
Because the guy who I don't run it.
You don't run it.
You're distancing yourself.
I don't know.
I don't have anything to do with
it. It's a pretty crucial part of the story.
Yeah. You don't run it, but you're a big part of the scene up there. And
yeah.
Cornell's
you're a big part of the decision making.
You book the comics.
You're a pretty big wheel in Humboldt.
You book the comics, you deal the drugs.
Cornell's from Humboldt to our listener.
But yes.
No, the guys who run it, it was like their first time putting any of this shit together.
It's hard to
run a festival. They didn't really understand.
You always say 30 comics are nothing.
Yeah.
30 comics
comedy
minimum.
Comedy only gets funny at the three-hour mark.
It's called warming up the crowd.
Literally, every show was at least 2.5 hours.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was like, buy a bracelet for the whole weekend. They go to one show, like, fuck,
48
kill me.
Hours of straight comedy.
Please, oh, I never want to see comedy again. It's like, all your favorite comics from Tulare. Carl Hess.
And check it out, Dave's wife is signing up. In the lobby.
Do not walk her home.
So it was like all of our like comedy buddies, we all were like on this show. It was the last like blowout night of the festival.
Yeah, it's an old movie theater too. So
yeah,
it was like
beautiful.
It was really cool.
On stage in front of the big screen.
With like there's what are those things called? Like where they shot Lincoln? There's like it was
the footlights.
Yeah,
it had like footlights. It was just really cool. It was a really beautiful venue.
Lincoln murder vibes.
Yeah. And somebody had cocaine, and so we're like, let's do a little bit of cocaine before our sets. We'll go up there like Richard Pryor.
You know, right.
We'll just have a good time on stage. But the show was like 3.5 hours long, and when you do a little bit of cocaine, you want to do a little more.
Yeah. And because it's my hometown, my mom's in the audience. My stepdad's in the audience. My grandma.
In the
my
front
grandma.
Row, his grandmother
yeah,
was
grandma
there.
Yeah, grandma was there. Everybody's there. It's a big day. And we're in this like attic space.
Yeah, yeah, because we go behind the screen and everyone's like kind of hanging out back there as a green room. But then Nick, Carl, and I find this ladder up to a mystery attic.
It's like a Blair Witch Project like attic that was like dusty and chalky. And so we're like, well, that's where we're going to do our drugs. And we go and we just keep doing cocaine, and we're like, go down and check him with the host, like, am I up next? And be like, yeah, 9 more comics. You're like, okay, great. Well, I guess I'll go back up to
the attic.
Yeah. And I remember, I think I was last. I might have been last.
You were the headliner.
Oh, yeah.
You were number 40.
Number 40. Headliner. Lucky number 40.
And I don't think it, I don't know what we were doing, but I was like so like numb mouth, like trying. Like I couldn't stop like clenching my teeth and I'm trying to get through this like already miserable show.
Nick had a full mental breakdown on stage.
I definitely did.
I'd really never seen anything like that.
Wait, what happened?
I mean, I just was like, the place was packed, but of course people trickled out because it was going on way too long. So there's nobody there.
People
and the
are
people
leaving.
Who are there are fucking exhausted. Watching 38 other comedians.
They hate comedy at this point.
Nick's doing the cum joke in front of Cornell's grandmother.
Uh-huh, yeah, I'm screaming about my jizz and how
tasty
it is.
So you get on stage.
I get on stage and I'm like, I can't even speak, man. Like, I was so like cracked
out. Did you tell them you were coked up, the audience?
I want to say that was my, I think I did.
Oh, yes, you did. Yes, you blew my cover. I think my mom was like, oh, that's why Cornell was acting so weird on stage. I'll put it on together. His eyes don't usually bulge that much when he's doing stand-up comedy.
He was a bit bulgy.
Yeah, I'm gripping the mic and it's shattered in my hand.
Oh my God. Also, you did, you could have done like 10, 15 and just gotten out of there like a mercy, but you did like 45 yeah,
my minutes. God. Hey, headliners.
Oh, so yeah.
I'm
going to
do my time.
Shoot.
I'd also, if you remember,
you got to hour four of
oh, yeah. I brought him over into tomorrow. If you remember, like Andre Hyland performed in that show too, and he had this like video of like this was like a bomb. I
would love to watch this set on video.
This video was like, it just like different horse,
a CGI horse.
Yeah,
fucking.
CGI horse fucking. Have you seen it? Yeah, it was also did not go over well. Yeah. So he set the tone, and I was like, I need some chemical influence to get these guys back.
I love horses and I love cum. That's a good idea for a joke.
Oh, God, it was a nightmare.
So were you just like,
yeah, I was just like. I couldn't even like talk.
Bro, like, oh, I did some cocaine in the back.
Cocaine for the past 3 hours.
Yeah, it's like I've been in the attic doing coke for hours.
Which makes the audience like,
what?
People like just dialing 911 and hovering their finger over send.
Oh, Cornell's grandma.
Cornell's
really
grandma.
Went on a ride that night.
She learned a lot
disgusting.
That night.
God, it was a nightmare.
Is that the most wasted you've ever been on stage, would you say?
Oh, yeah, definitely. For sure.
Oh, really?
I'm sure I've been like drunker on stage because I was crystal clear. Man.
Yeah, I see it all. 4D chess.
4D chess.
With Eric Andre.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
With Eric Andre.
My worst, like, other people bombing story was the very, very first time I did any open mic. And I went to the Haha Cafe in North Hollywood.
Oh, baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, got some nightmare stories from Haha Cafe.
And sure.
I had my really good friend Brandy was the only one who came to support me, which was fine.
No, the singer or?
The singer. No, the beverage.
And I was hammered on Brandy. I'm ready to go.
And so I was 40th in the fucking lineup or whatever. And it started packed, and then it just kind of getting like people left, and I was like very, very late in the show. And right before I go up, it was probably like half full at this point. Right before I go up, this guy comes on stage and brings up like a real dog and takes out like a gun. It was a toy gun, but brought out a gun and holds it to the dog's head and says, if you guys don't laugh at my jokes, I'll shoot this dog.
National Lampoon already did it.
It's a fucking hack Lampoon bit, and it's awful. Yeah,
it's a classic National Lampoon thing. If you don't come to this movie, we'll kill this dog.
But yeah, it was an awful bit, and the entire crowd left. Yeah. He did shitty 4 minutes of comedy, and then it was just me, my friend Brandy, and like the next comic was in the room. And I went on stage, did my 3 minutes, and she laughed loud and hard enough that I was like, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
Nailed it.
Thanks, Brandy. Better than the dog guy.
You're my favorite singer.
You're my best friend.
Dude, Julie Ashton, who's a casting director, very lovely casting director, and was always very sweet to me early on when I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I asked her one time, what's the worst audition you've ever experienced? You've seen like a billion actors come through your casting studio. Like, what's the worst you've ever experienced? And she goes, a guy pulled out a gun during an audition, a real gun, a loaded gun. Because there was a gun in the scene. He was like a villain in the, you know,
Then you bring a gun to the audition.
I brought this. Make it real.
And he like pulled out a gun and aimed it at her and like did the scene. And she was like, okay, thanks for coming in.
That man, Chris Pratt.
It worked.
Sir Lawrence Olivier.
There was this comic who did open mics back in the day, and he would always bomb, but I thought he was the funniest man in the world. He went by the name Gaylord Dingler.
Already laughing.
I'm on board.
Already laughing.
That was Hitler's original last name.
Exactly. A lot of people don't know that.
Friend of the show.
Gaylord Dingler, and he would he'd just be sitting out in front of an open mic, just sitting on the ground, drinking a 40 of Mickey's before the open mic started. And he would go up, and he had the same act every single time. You know those crazy guys who just do open mics and they never change a fucking word verbatim?
Yep.
He's one of those guys. And every time he would just bomb at these crazy, weird open mics, and I would be dying laughing. The only joke of his I really remember was, I remember two jokes. One joke, he'd go, you know, I open up the newspaper and I see all these ads for garage sales. Yeah. But, you know, I've been driving around with my dog and he hasn't seen one garage for sale. They always involved his dog for some reason. I don't know.
He had a gun to his dog's head while he wrote that.
Tell him you told me that.
The other joke he had, he goes, this was my favorite one. He goes, this woman was working at a gym, she lost 30 pounds in one day. Yeah. Can you believe it? 30 pounds in one day. Yeah. A machine ripped her leg off.
That's good.
I like that one.
That's fucking fun. That was his closer.
Yeah. It was the best. It killed
me. A machine ripped her leg. Hardly mutilated. Okay. I'm on board.
That gun shooting guy, the gun and dog guy, I saw him months later at the Aha Cafe. And I was like, oh, no.
Where's your dog? He goes, I did it.
He's like, I did it. Nobody laughed.
I had to do it. I'm a man of my word.
I stick by my promises. And he had, he now had complete, like, huge fake veneers, like the mask.
Sick.
All right, well, that's
and they weren't
funny.
Like pop-ins. They were like dentally, dentist installed them. And he was wearing a suit and he was like, I'm working on my new bit. And I was like, oh, cool, man. What is it? And then he pantsed himself. And he had sewn out of like nylon and like flesh colored threads a photorealistic stuffed penis. This was like outside of the comedy club. He was like, I'm going on the later show. You got to check my bit out. I was like, what is it? And then he just exposed himself. But it's not exposing if it's not real, but it is kind of exposing if you can't tell it's not real. So his bit was having crazy mask teeth and just showing his dick to the crowd.
I mean, that's growing as an artist. That's better than the dog thing.
Yeah, I mean, it is a step up. You know, everybody's got their journey.
I used to work at this bar in Venice, and I was like just starting stand up. So we found out there was going to be a stand. It was like a musical. There was never any stand up there. We found out there was going to be a stand up night, and it was like Howard Stern guys, but not like the A tier. It was like Sal the Stockbroker. I think like Jim Florentine.
Screaming Cindy.
I forget who it was, but one guy closed his set
by bringing a woman on stage and pouring ranch dressing into her ass crack and then licking it out of her
ass.
Oh,
boy.
And he had multiple women who wanted to get on stage.
Wow.
And I was like, that's a ranch pioneer right there.
I know. It kind of sounds like my set.
But I was literally like, people were like, pick me. And it was like, I guess this is like a thing. But I was like, that's a closer.
Any other fucking things? This is phenomenal.
This is fun.
This is fantastic.
Very fun.
Yeah. I'm surprised that your wasted stories weren't that...
I gotta think
crazy.
About it.
Crazy. The three of you?
I
think you guys have been so oftenly wasted on stage. It's kind of like normally you're like, yeah, whatever. It's called Thursday, my man. I thought you were gonna be like, I dropped 10 hits of acid in my eye and snowboarded on stage.
The stage is precious, man. That's a precious space.
Stage is a temple. You know?
Yeah, we don't.
And it's not so funny of a story. It was like, I've been getting drunk on stage for 15 years, and it's probably why I'm not successful.
That's not really a story so much as...
I've wasted my life.
I can't face the audience
is
unless
that
I've numbed
to
myself.
Is you guys?
My life in the trash can?
I'm days away from giving it all up.
But it is interesting. That's like why you put us on the podcast today. Like, these fucking derelicts are going to have, like, once I shit myself and suck my own dick on stage.
That was my closer for most of the early 2000s.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen. I'll probably see you guys like in a few hours.
Yeah.
At like Best Fish Taco or something.
Oh, yeah. It's Best Fish Taco night.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bombing with Eric Andre.
Bombing with Eric Andre is brought to you by Will Ferrell's Big Money Players Network and iHeart Podcast. It is executive produced by the handsome Han Sani, the wickedly talented Olivia Aguilar, edited and sound designed by the stupendous Andy Harris, and our art is by the genius Dylan Vanderberg. I want to thank the four of them very much. If you want to confess your own bombing moments or give us a shout out, go rate us 5 stars and drop a review on your podcast app of choice. Write about your own stories of bombing at life. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can also subscribe to Big Money Players Diamond to get exclusive bonus content with every episode and listen to all my episodes ad-free. The guests on Bombing with Eric Andre were recorded before the SAG after strike. Bye!
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.